Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We shall begin to read with verse 20. And we shall read verse 20, verse 21, and verse 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. In the margin of my Bible, it reads, and medicine to all of their flesh. Help or medicine to all of their flesh. So you see, God's not just interested in healing us if we're sick, but he's interested in keeping us well. If you want to keep well, then just keep on taking God's medicine, and it'll keep you well. Praise the Lord. Now, what are our rights? What actually belongs to us when it comes to physical healing and health? How can we ascertain exactly what was secured to us? Well, there's only one way I know of, and that is by a constant, careful, diligent, reverent, prayerful study of God's Word. And that's what we propose to do in this seminar. And yet, how lacking we are along this line. You ask people, I know, because I've prayed with and for so many thousands through the years. And here's been a subject that I've been greatly interested in, I suppose more interested in this subject, faith and healing, than any other subject in the Bible. Well, there's a reason why. Most all of you have heard my testimony. I was born sick. And never had a normal childhood, never ran, played like other little children as a child. Never had a well day in my life. Up until I was 17 years of age. Never had a good night's sleep in my life until I was 17 years of age and God healed me. So for 17 years, I wasn't normal physically. Well, as a kid, you know, a little kid, and then as a teenager, I'd just almost sometimes sit around, you know, and look with my mouth open and eyes bugged almost at things other normal children could do. And that was the greatest consuming desire of my heart. I think, really, if God had come down from heaven and said, now, son, I'm going to give you two choices. You go to heaven right now and walk the streets of gold or else be well. I think I'd said, well, I want to be well because never known what it means to be well. And so I'd take that. But thank God he offered me both of them. Praise God. Not just one of the two, but he offered me both choice. Isn't that right? Going to heaven, being healed while I'm here too. Praise the Lord. Glory. Well, anyway, I guess that was the reason for my great interest in this subject. Because on the bed of affliction, of course, I knew that if there's any help for me, it has to be in the Bible. It has to be with God. It can't be anywhere else. Because medical science had already turned their backs away and turned their face away and turned their back to me and said there isn't anything we can do. I had to come down to the brink of the grave before I do what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Come back to God's Word in a constant, careful, diligent, reverent, prayerful manner and find out what God's Word had to say on the subject. Well, I almost waited too late. If I'd had something that had been acute, I guess I would have been carried out into eternity. But because my condition, I lingered along. Well, I had time to do a little studying. And I didn't just find overnight what God had to say on the subject. You know the reason why? May not be good English, but I'll put it this way and you can understand it. Sometimes we have to unlearn some things before we can learn the right thing. because our minds have been clouded up and filled up with a lot of things that are not really so. And so you see, every time I'd get a good promise of God's word, well, the devil would be right there to tell me that just belongs to the Jews. Or that's not for us nowadays, and I didn't know whether it was or not. I'd have to look a long time to find some scripture, you see, that would prove to me, to my own satisfaction, that it belongs to me. Well, now you see here, God said, my son, attend to my words. God's word doesn't just belong to the Jews. Thank God it belongs to all of his people. And so he said, my son, attend to my words. You know, if you went to the doctor and you got a prescription, and the prescription said, take 2 capsules 3 times a day before the meals. Well, if you're going to expect that to work for you, you'd expect to take it according to directions. Isn't that right? Did you know that God here gives us directions for taking his prescription? He prescribes his word for our health, because he said, my words are life unto those that find them, and my words are health, or they are healing to all of their flesh. Doesn't he say it? Well, that's either a truth or a lie, what? I believe it's the truth. Praise God. The latter part of that 22nd verse says, and health, the margin says, and medicine to all of their flesh. But we all know that medicine, even the natural, wouldn't do you any good unless you took it. You could take someone to the doctor, and the doctor could prescribe a prescription or a medicine. And you could go home and set it up on the chest of drawers, or put it right on the table right by the bedside and just grow steadily worse. And you could call the doctor and say, I don't understand it. Now I brought my wife to you, and we got this prescription filled. We paid our money for it, and she's getting worse. Well, is she taking it according to directions? Well, no, we've got it right here in the bottle of the box right by the bedside, though. Well, it's not going to work just because it's in the bottle. You've got to get it in you. Amen. Now, you're listening to me? Amen. Jesus took some natural things sometimes to explain some spiritual things. And you see, God's medicine's not going to work because you've got it on the table by your bed. God's word's not going to work because you've got the Bible lying on the chest of drawers or anywhere else. It's not even going to work just because you read it. It's not even going to work just because you memorized a few scriptures. It's not going to work just because you said, I believe the Bible so. It's not going to work just because you believe I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. But it'll work if you'll get it down on the inside of you. Praise God, into your heart. And the way you do that is not just by reading it and forgetting it, but by meditating upon it, by thinking upon it, by feeding upon it, until it becomes a part of your inward man. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now here he's talking, he's using a natural human term to explain a spiritual truth. He's just simply saying that what bread or food is to the outward man, the word of God is to the inward man. And so here he said, my son, here he gives the directions for taking his medicine. I think maybe if we were to give this Bible less than a name tonight, we could call it God's medicine. It's his word. But then here are the directions for taking this medicine. My son, attend to my words. Now, what does he mean when he said, attend to my words? Well, I use this illustration very often. If I were to see Brother Myers, for instance, tomorrow, downtown, and I said to him as he walked along the street, "Wait a minute here, Brother Myers won't talk to you." "Oh, no, Brother Hagin," he said, "I can't talk." He looks at his watch. He said, "I'm already 10 minutes late. I have an appointment right down the street here, and I'm already 10 minutes late. I must attend to this business." Now, he doesn't mean to slight me. He's not mad at me. He likes me all right. He'd like to talk to me and fellowship with me, but there's something else that he has to put first. Isn't that right? There is something else that he must give his undivided attention unto. Now, that's what God means when he said, "Attend to my word." He means put my words first. He means give your undivided attention unto my words. Isn't that what he means? Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, in one of her books, and I really wish that her books were still in print. They're all out of print now, but I've enjoyed them, I suppose, as much as any, and have given them away and sold them and as much as any other books. But Dr. Yeomans made this statement in one of her books. In her ministry, she said, for she would have healing classes, and oftentimes in the daytime in her revival meetings, she'd have what she called healing classes, teaching on the subject of divine healing. And she made this statement, maybe not just word for word, but this is the essence of it. She said, "I just become angry sometimes." Well, really, she said, "I don't know whether I just get angry or whether it's my righteous indignation that gets stirred up." She said, "When we're studying the Word of God on such an important subject as healing for the body, which should be important to every Christian, as I teach these classes," sometimes, she said, "folks will sit there, and you can tell they're not paying a bit of attention to what I'm saying. They'll thumb through the song book or stare off in space. Some of them will sit there and look out the window. Some of them," she said, "will even sit there and chew the chewing gum." And she said, "I've never figured out whether I just get mad myself, you know, or whether it's my righteous indignation that gets stirred up." And the same people then want you to pray the prayer of faith for them to deliver them. But they don't want to do anything themselves. Well, thank God many have been helped, not because of it, but in spite of it. But my brother, sister, I believe that God wants his children to grow spiritually. Amen. Peter, anointed by the Holy Spirit, or we might say it another way, the Holy Spirit through Peter said, to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God wants us to grow. I believe that God wants his children to grow spiritually and to develop a prayer life and to develop a faith life until they could stand on their own 2 feet. I don't believe he wants us to be spiritual babies all of our lives. I remember several years ago, my wife and I were attending a convention. Well, really, just a fall Bible conference, a couple of days. We went down from our church. We were pastors at the time, some 100, 120 miles, to attend this convention. And the pastor said to me, because this church where we had this Bible conference every fall, they would provide places for the ministers to stay and their wives. And so the pastor said, "Brother Hagin," said, "there's a young couple here in our church that requested that you stay in their home." Well, we inquired who, and we found out, of course, this young lady had been a member of a church we had pastored one time. She's married at this time. And so we stayed in their home. Now, the next morning after the night service and the first day of the convention, the next morning as we talked, they said, "We want you to pray for our child." They're just a baby, a few months old in the home. This child was born with a hernia or a rupture. And so we prayed. Now, it didn't disappear instantly, but it disappeared. It started going away, and in a matter of time, it was gone. The baby was healed. Praise the Lord. But this girl said, Helen said to my wife and I, said, now, you know, I know I was a member of your church just as a teenager. You was my pastor for just a little while, about a year, actually. And I got a hold of something there as a teenager. I know you've taught faith and healing. And I married my husband. He's a member of this church here, which was a full gospel church. But said, and they'd been married several years. Said, but I tell you the truth about it. Said, I don't understand it now. It looks to me like, she said, that Christians ought to grow spiritually and ought to grow in faith and ought to be able to trust God after being a Christian for 30 years more than they could when they was just a young Christian. But she said it's the other way around in our church. Said all the old Christians, none of them ever get healed, including the pastor. I don't mean this wrong, she said. I'm saying it in the spirit of the law. But none of them ever gets healed. The only people that ever gets healed in our church, some of we young folks. All of the older, said there's not a person above 30 years of age ever gets healed in our church. All of them go to the doctors or go to the hospitals or operate dogs, and that's all that people have to. We're not opposed to that. But the point she was making was this. She said, I don't know, my husband, I talked to him, but I said, now who would we get to pray for this child of ours? We believe God will heal this rupture. The doctors won't operate on it. They'll operate on a 6-7-month-old baby, you see. But they won't operate on that baby. But said, we believe God can heal this rupture or hernia. And not only we believe he can, but we believe he will. But said, now, I don't mean this wrong, but said, we talked about it. We didn't have any confidence in anybody's prayers in the whole church. Some of we young people, we sort of prayed together ourselves and tried to claim a little something, but said, we said, who's going to do the praying? Nobody else getting anything. But she said, I told him, now I was in Brother Hagin's church, they're coming to this prayer conference, I know they are, and let's get them to stay in our home, and let's get Brother Sister Hagin to pray. And said, that thing will go. And it did, it disappeared. Praise the Lord. But the point I wanted to get over to is that young lady made a point. She said, it looks to me like that Christians ought to develop and ought to grow. And the older they get, they ought to be able to do more praying for themselves. Then they could help others. They ought to be able to do more believing in God. They ought to have more faith. It ought to be easier. But she said, instead of it getting easier, it looks like it's getting harder. Now, isn't that about the way it is? I mean, that's sort of a true picture, isn't it? Well, now, why is it? Why is it? It isn't getting harder because people have done what I'm talking about here tonight, put God's word first. It's because they failed to do it. Don't shout me down now, just cause I'm preaching real good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I would be concerned if I didn't know more about praying and if I didn't have more faith today than I did 30 years ago, I'd be greatly concerned about myself. Well, I'll tell you, in this day in which we're living, I would become fearful. Well, I wouldn't know what might happen to me. But thank God, we can walk with God, and we can walk with his word, and his word can be more real to us today than it was last year. And our prayers, we can learn how to pray until our prayers can be more effective this year than they were last year. And our faith can be greater this year than it was last year. And God can be more real to us today than he was last year.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I believe he will be if we'll do what he said here. My son, attend to my words. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. As I said, I believe God wants his children to grow spiritually. I believe that God wants every child of God to develop and to grow up spiritually, that he's no longer a spiritual babe, and that he have to depend on somebody else to do his praying for him, somebody else to exercise faith for it, somebody else to get his healing for it, but that he could stand on his own 2 feet, bless God, until if he was the only Christian left in the world, he'd make it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He'd know what to do. He'd know what to do.
Hallelujah.
He'd know what to do. Well, he said here, attend to my words. That means put my words first. That means give my word your undivided attention, that means other things out. Other things out. My word in. Praise God. And then secondly, he said, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear. Open your ears, he said, to my sayings. Open your ears to God's word. Too many times you can tell people what the word of God said, and instead of opening their ears to God's word, they close the ears to God's word and open their mouth to say, yes, but. Amen. Amen. Well, my brother, sister, the word of God said, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Did you ever read that in the Bible? It's in there. How many of you know it's in there? Yeah, praise God, most of you do. Well, I think most all of us practice that, except most folks practice it in reverse. They're slow to hear and quick to wrath and quick to speak. That's not what he said. He said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, that's not out of line here, because he said, incline thine ear. If you're quick to hear, you're inclining your ear. Now, incline thine ear to what? To my sayings. Open your ears to what God has to say. Well, to open your ears to what God has to say means sometimes you have to close them to what somebody else has to say. Amen. Somebody said, well, I know, but I just don't understand it. But did you know that God didn't ask us to understand his word? All he asked us to do is believe it. I don't understand how a lot of things work, but thank God they do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they work because we believe. We couldn't just, you couldn't just give people from the natural standpoint an explanation of just how the new birth works. And just how, because of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior and confessing him as your Lord, that you were born again, and just how the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, but thank God you know it. Amen. And you couldn't just understand and tell somebody and explain to someone just how that a person's filled with the Holy Ghost and speaks with other tongues, but thank God you can and you do. And you believe it.
Praise.
Well, I just couldn't tell a person just how it works. I was reading an article in one of our prominent magazines some time ago, a couple of years ago, I guess. And this was written by a scientist, a medical doctor and a scientist. And it was on the subject of healing and health. And this scientist went on to say, in these days, we are not closing our ears to any kind of healing. Now, he said, in fact, we have gone back in modern time in these days to some old wives' fables and tales about things, you know, that they'd give you. We've gone back to old Indian remedies and put them in the laboratory just to see why it works, and we found out that some of them are very beneficial for the physical body. Even something he said that we as medical science have been opposed to in time past, we found out we're wrong. We find out this works. We found out why it works. And then I thought, as I read this, he made a statement. He said, we, that is, he said, rightly informed and fully educated. I thought it was a peculiar way he said it. Medical doctors and scientific men are not opposed to divine healing. He said, after all, I'm in the healing business. Then it's my obligation to get over to people whatever works for the healing of the body. And he said, I have, and we have, as scientists, irrefutable proof of people being divinely healed from every known malady. And he even mentioned cancer and other very deadly diseases. And we know these people were divinely healed because he said hands were laid upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and prayer was made over them, and some of them were anointed with oil, according to James 5:14. It was a scientist talking. Now he said, our only trouble is this. And I laughed when I read it. Our only trouble is this. He said, oh, Indian so-and-so over in Oklahoma, you know, he's got this remedy. Well, we can take that remedy into the laboratory and put it under the microscope and put it through different tests. And we know just what's in it and just what makes it work. But said, we can't put divine healing under the microscope. We can't put divine healing through the test to see what makes it work. We know it works, but we don't know what makes it work. He said, if we could just find out what makes it work, we could share it with everybody. I thought, thank God he's telling the truth. And if you see me and Brother Lindsay, we can tell him what makes it work. Praise the Lord. Brother Myers, we can tell him what makes it work. It's faith. I said it's faith. It's faith that makes it work. And that's you cotada de brafrastoko de delifapos. Frabrostikiri yansin kalambra mostesis. Frabatskiri staka. And that's the reason God said, put my word first. Is because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so when the word gains entrance into thy heart and into thy spirit, faith will be there automatically. You will not have to seek. You will not have to search. Yea, there shall be no effort upon your part. Faith will come unconsciously into your spirit as you feed upon and accept my word, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Praise God. That's the clue. That's the secret. Praise the Lord. That's the secret. That was the secret in the healings that Jesus performed when he was upon the earth. Don't you know he said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And in the selfsame hour his servant was healed. Don't you know when the woman with the issue of blood came and touched his garment? And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Don't you remember Jairus came on the behalf of his little daughter that was sick and lying at home at the point of death, and he said, come and put thy hands on her that she may be healed. And as Jesus started toward his house, that's when this woman came and touched his garment and was healed, and Jesus was detained. And so some individuals came from Jairus' house and said to him, don't trouble the master anymore. Your little daughter's already dead. Well, what could be any more hopeless and helpless than that? It's all over. And Jesus turned to him, praised God, and said to him, fear not, only believe. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Fear not, only believe.
Hallelujah.
Only believe. Praise God.
Glory.
And Jesus went his way to that house. And that little maiden was raised up and was healed. Praise God. Fear not, he said, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Two blind men came to him, followed him from Jairus' house. In fact, when he left Jairus' house, two blind men, Matthew said, followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the two blind men came to him. And he said, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they went out, praise God, being able to see. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? See, faith is the thing that makes it work. They said, what makes divine healing work? We don't know what makes it work. We know it works. We know it works, they said, because we have the medical case history of individuals. We have the test. We have the x-ray pictures and so on. And now then we run the test. Now then we've taken the pictures. And now then they're well. Malignant growths have disappeared. This was a scientist talking, a doctor. Now then they're well. We know divine healing works, but we don't know why. What makes it work? Thank God faith makes it work. We can't put divine healing under the microscope, you say. You see, they're trying to perceive it with the physical senses. You can't perceive God with your physical senses. You can't perceive the Word of God with your physical senses. You can't perceive faith with your physical senses. You can see the results of it after it works. But you can't perceive faith with your physical senses. Because Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's why they put it under the microscope, so they could magnify it hundreds of times and even thousands of times, so they could see little minute particles and germs and so on and so forth. But bless God, you can't see faith with the natural eye. But faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave you in the dark? God said that His words giveth light. The entrance of God's words giveth light. God said, the psalmist said, thy word is light. God didn't leave us in the dark. Romans 10:17, He told us exactly how it comes. Said faith comes. We know it comes. Well, from where does it come? From whence does it come? Somebody said, so-and-so is coming to see me. Every time a car goes by, they look to see if it's them coming. They know just which direction to look because they know what direction they're coming from. I'm glad God tells us which direction to look. He said faith comes by hearing. So you see, doesn't come by seeing, doesn't come by feeling. It comes by hearing. But hearing what? The Word of God. Praise God. That's the way it comes. So then, not only did He say, attend to my words. Not only did He say, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Open ye ear to them. Open ye ears to God's sayings. I never have figured out, because see, healing's involved here. Let me repeat again, that 22nd verse said, for they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Now, I never could figure out why people, Christian people, especially spirit-filled people, when they would, if they do get sick, and they do, I know I pastored nearly 12 years, but you know, I never could figure out why folks wouldn't listen to what God had to say about their sickness. Take time to find out what God had to say. I remember, you see my boy here, Ken, you heard his testimony tonight. My wife and I were gone from home, he's about 12 years old. My wife's mother, his grandmother, were keeping the children. She is with me in a revival meeting. And so one night, just after 6 o'clock, the rates, long-distance telephone rates, a little cheaper after 6 p.m. So in the apartment where we were standing, the telephone rang, so we went to the phone, and it was her. And she said to me, what am I going to do with this boy? I said, what's the matter with it? Well, she said, everybody up here's got the mumps. Well, now, of course, you know, that term is sort of like Bible terms you use sometimes. She didn't mean everybody in the city had the mumps. But she just meant it was prevalent in the school. It was widespread. You know, the Bible said there went out a decree in the days of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. But the Indians over here in North America weren't taxed. And the Eskimos up in Alaska weren't taxed. And the Indians down in Mexico weren't taxed. And the Chinamen over in China weren't taxed, and they were there. But see, you have to qualify that statement. What he called the world was right around that Roman world, right around the Mediterranean there, see. So you have to qualify the statement. You know, I understood what you meant. I knew she wasn't saying that everybody in the whole city of Garland had the mumps. But she meant it was widespread. And so he said, he's got the mumps. Ken's got the mumps. His jaw's all swelled up, you know, all swollen, and he's got a fever, and he's got the mumps. She said, you want me to take him to the doctor? Why, I said, certainly not. What in the world would you want to take the doctor for anyhow? If we was planning on him having the mumps, you know how to take care of somebody with the mumps, don't you? Yeah. But I said, there's no use of him having the mumps. Well, she said, he's just cried till he's nearly worried me to death, wanting to call you, or wanting me to call you. I said, well, put him on the phone. Let me talk to him. I said, God will heal him. So she said, all right, wait a minute. So he came on, you know, and he said, Dad? I said, yeah. He said, well, that's the only way in the world I could get her to do anything. She didn't want to call. She was afraid, you know, that we wouldn't like to cause you to run up the telephone bill, you know. And said, I knew the only way in the world I'd ever get a call if I'd just cry long enough, you know, and aggravate long enough, she'd finally give in and call. I said, well, now, son, you don't have to have the month of God. He said, I know it. That's what I told Grandma. All you got to do is just call Daddy, and he'll pray, and God will heal me. No use me having the mumps. So we prayed. I said, all right, I just as soon as hang up the phone, me and Mama's going to pray. We're going to kneel down. I'm not going to move off of this spot. I'm going to kneel down and pray right now. And they'll leave you. So I said, put Grandma back on. So he put Grandma back on. I said, now he'll be all right. We're going to pray. Well, I hope so. Well, we'd have been going on her faith. We wouldn't have made it, wouldn't we? But anyway, we finally hung up, you know. And so she said later, in a few days, we closed the meeting, went in. And she said, well, after he called, you know, he'd been crying, you know, just to get her to call. And so he said he laid down across her bed and fell off asleep. She just let him sleep. And so after about 45 minutes, she said to him, now, son, she shook him, said, get up now and go get your pajamas on, go get in your own bed. So he got up and stretched, you know, and she said, let me look at you. Why, I said, all the swelling's gone. Well, let me check him. She checked him, he had no temperature, you know, the swelling's all gone. He never had any kind or sign of mumps from that day to this, see? Now, I was telling that somewhere, you see, in a full gospel church. And the pastor of a full gospel church said, you mean tell me that's really so? Well, I said, certainly that's so. Well, he said, I just thought that's just normal. I mean, my kids all have the mumps. Well, I thought they're supposed to. Now, dear God, what could the members of his church ever learn? On the Papodisekiata, hallelujah, on the subject of healing or faith, what could they ever learn? Well, they'd all think that all their kids ought to be sick. See? And that ought to be natural and normal with them. Well, he said, I just thought everybody, you know, I just thought that's that way. You see, now what happened? Now, here's a man. I didn't say he wasn't saved. I didn't say he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't say he wasn't a fine man and a good Christian. But I said this, he's not listening to what God has to say on the subject. God said, incline your ear to my sayings. And I just walked in here in time to hear Brother Lindsay say that God said way back there in the Old Testament, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Oh, glory to God. I'll just take it away from you. I'll take it away from the midst of you. Well, that meant mumps too. Take it away from the midst of you. And the number, and he said, there would be no sickness among you. Oh, somebody said, yeah, that's just for the Jews. Well, you got another thought coming. It isn't just for the Jews. Praise God, it belongs to the people of God.
Oh,
and it belongs to those who believe today.
Yes.
And so, that's the thing. I'm merely saying this to point this up to you, that here's the thing that defeats us. Instead of listening, opening our ears to what God has to say, we listen to what everybody else has to say. Now, I don't mean it wrong, but I learned a long time ago, folks. Don't misunderstand me now. People can be right in their heart and wrong in their head. I know that. And a lot of folks are. But I learned a long time ago that unless people's going to give you the word of God on the subject, that you can't listen to even what preachers say. I want to tell you there's several full gospel, spirit-filled preachers that like to send me to my grave. By listening to them, I like to die. That's absolutely the truth. And ought to have better sense to begin with. But it's pretty easy sometimes, you know, to fall back into the natural. And for that reason, you very seldom ever hear me tell people what I think. If I don't know, I'll just say I don't know. I'll tell them what I know and let them do their own thinking. I'll tell them what God's Word has to say on the subject. And that's the thing that counts. You know, I remember when I was, I left my church way back in 1949, 18 years ago. Soon it'll be 19 years ago, and went out on the field. Well, my wife was left home with a couple of little children. And I guess maybe I sort of didn't want to go anyhow. And so I talked to some minister friends and asked them to pray with me. Well, instead of them praying about what God wanted me to do, they just said, I'll just be honest and tell you the truth about it. God expects you to stay home with your children and your family. He gave you that family, and that's what he expects you to do. So what you ought to do is go back to pastoring. You ought to get your church and not be running around here over the country. So after three or four of them told me that, nobody encouraged me to obey God. I decided I'd do it. Canceled all my meetings, had a heart attack, liked to die. And the only way in the world to get healed was me and my wife to promise to obey God and forget what the preacher said. Well, now you see, it's the easiest thing in the world to get back in the natural. I mean, good men sometimes can give you natural advice that would cause you to miss it spiritually. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying to you is, God said, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline your ear to my sayings. If you're going to listen to God, you have to shut other things out sometimes. We're not doing some things because we want to do them. Because God said do it. And I know I'd come home a lot of times and leave. And sometimes I'd try to take Ken with me a little bit when he's back there, just 11, 12, 13-year-old boy, on some meetings. And it's very difficult sometimes, you see, for a child to understand some things. And he'd cry and say, Daddy, why can't you be at home like other daddies, like other preachers? Well, I said, son, I'll tell you why I can't. Here's what God told me to do. That satisfied him. We'd pray about it. He's satisfied about it. I said, that's all right. That's what God said do. That's what you do. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have to listen to what God said in his word if we're going to enjoy the blessings of the word. We're going to have to listen to what God said to us along any other line if we're going to enjoy the blessings that God has for us. Don't you believe that? Incline thine ear. That's what I'm talking about. Listen to what God has to say. Does he have anything to say about sickness? Thank God he does. What does he say about it? Well, his word says himself, Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. His word says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Doesn't he say it? Doesn't it say it? Yes, it says it. It says it. His word said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Peter preached that down to Cornelius in his household, as is recorded in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now listen to this. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He called sickness satanic oppression. Fellow said to me, in fact, he's a preacher. After I'd said this, said, you forgot though, Brother Hagin. I said, forgot what? You forgot about Job. I said, what do you mean? Said, God made him sick. Well, I said, didn't do any such thing. You better read your Bible again. The devil made him sick. Yeah, but he said God gave him permission to. And if God gives permission for you to be sick, you just ought to submit to the will of God. And that's a full gospel preacher talking to him. You ought to just be willing to submit to the will of God. And that's the way I preach it to my crowd. I said, why don't you preach the whole book of Job to your crowd? Why don't you get over in the 42nd chapter when it tells how God turned his captivity? And I said, besides that, Job didn't go through life sick and suffering. The whole book of Job, all Bible scholars agree, happened in about 9 months. Couldn't have been over a year. And he said God turned Job's captivity. He was in captivity to Satan. But thank God, God turned his captivity and set him free. Hallelujah. 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 You better not say you guess you're God's Job, because if you are, you're going to get your healing. Job got healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now then, notice the next verse. Let them, that's the 21st verse now, let them what? My words, not depart from thine eyes. Now here he said you're supposed to look as well as listen. What does he say to listen to? My words. What does he say to look to or to look at? My words. Hallelujah. You're supposed to look as well as listen. Now then, you can call it what you want to, but it's thoroughly scriptural. If you're looking at God's word, and that word does not depart from before thine eyes, and this has to do with healing, because he talks about health and medicine here in this next verse. My words are life unto those that find them, and my words are healing, and they're health, they're medicine to all of their flesh. All right, get the words on healing. Get the words on health. Get God's word and look at it. Don't let it depart from before you. Don't look at anything else. Just look at that. All right, then. If that word doesn't depart from before your eyes, and that word said, by whose stripes ye were healed. And that Bible said, by whose stripes ye were, past tense, you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. Then if that word doesn't depart from before your eyes, you're bound to see yourself well. Aren't you? Now you can call it whatever you want to, but you're bound to see yourself with what God says belongs to you if that word doesn't depart from before you. If you see yourself sick, if you see yourself unhealed, if you see yourself getting worse, if you see yourself being operated on, well, that word's departed from your eyes. You're looking at something else. You're seeing yourself with something else. He said, don't let them, my words, depart from before thine eyes. Now, no one told me. I had no teaching on the subject. But I can remember when I was on the bed of affliction. Oh, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit, if he's your teacher, he's bound to lead you in line with the word, because he's the author of this word. Isn't that right? I had no earthly teacher. And I didn't really realize that until afterwards that the Holy Spirit was leading me. It was an unconscious direction. But I remember that that was the turning point in my own case of me receiving healing for my body when I was on the bed of affliction. I laid there a year. I laid there 16 months altogether, but I laid there a year. It was in the month of March, and so that was the 12th month. The 12th month. And for those 11 months, I saw myself dead. Oh, I went through it 1,000 times. Well, I'm satisfied 10,000 times. When you're bedfast 24 hours a day with nothing else to do except to live with your physical symptoms and trouble, brother, you can think on it a lot. I saw myself getting worse. I saw myself dying. I'd been dead twice and come back. I went through it 1,000 times. I lived it 1,000 times afterwards of dying, even though I was a Christian, even though I knew where I was going if I did go. I saw myself dead. I saw it 1,000 times. In the nighttime when all the lights are out in the house and everybody's asleep, and I'm left alone with my own thoughts. Many a time. Night after night. I saw myself dead. I saw my body. I saw the undertakers come and take it down to the funeral home. I saw them prepare it for burial. I saw them put in the casket. I saw them bring it back out to the house. I saw them sit in the living room, you know. I saw the family gather around. I heard the tears, other cries, and saw the tears. I heard the things they said. I saw it. I saw them go to the church. I saw them roll the casket down the aisle. I saw the preacher stand before the pulpit. I heard his sermon. I heard the songs they sang. I saw them go around the last time and look in the casket. I came along with them, looked there, and it was me. I saw my face, cold and white. I saw myself dead. I saw him roll that casket up the aisle. I saw the pallbearer's cart put in the hearse. I saw him come down the old Highway 75 out of McKinney up here, you see, and turn off of it and go out to the old Forest Grove Cemetery. I could see it before we ever got there. I could see the new-made grave, new dug grave. I saw him come down to the old family burial plot. I saw him set the casket there, you see, put the flowers around it, and have a little graveside rite, the final rite. I saw the friends leave, family leave, get in the car and go home. I saw the casket lowered into the box and the lid put on it. I heard the clods as they fell on the lid. I saw them fill it full of dirt, mound it up, laid the flowers out on. I saw those flowers wither and die till they's all gone. I saw that grave in that old Forest Grove Cemetery. I saw myself dead. I saw the leaves on the trees finally wither and die till the trees stood bare. I saw the rain, cold, and even the snow of winter come. I saw the spring come, heard the birds sing. I saw the sun, or summertime, with the sun beating down upon that grave. I saw myself dead. But somewhere, and I can remember, it was after I read this scripture here. It was after I read this portion of scripture here. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. And somewhere or another, I knew this worked. I knew it didn't work. I didn't understand it. I never heard it preached. I'm just a boy. 16 years old at the time. But I knew it's God's word. I knew he said my words is medicine. I knew he said it's health to all their flesh. That meant from the top of my head, soul to foot. I knew the doctor said five of them couldn't do a thing. I had to die. But I begin to see myself well. And bless God, when some of these attacks would come then, these heart attacks, and I'd seem to get worse, I'd laugh. Just laugh right in the face of them. I'd see myself right in the face of them. I'd see myself well. I asked myself the question, what would I be doing if I were up? I said, bless God, I'd be preaching. So I said, get me a tablet and pencil. I started working me up some sermons. Never did preach them. They're unpreachable. Still got some of them. I never did preach but one of them. It's a pretty good sermon. Preach it once in a while yet. Glory to God. The only one out of the bunch is ever preachable. But man, I finally had a whole box full of these sermons. That's what I'm going to do. I saw myself well. Can you see what I'm talking about? Amen. Glory to God. Don't let his words depart from before your eyes. Why? They're life. They're life. Keep them, he said, in the midst of thine heart. That means in the very core of your being, in your spirit, in your inner man. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee. Now, what's the result? What's the results? Thank God, God's word produces results, folks. Praise God. There are results. What are the results? They, my words, are life unto those that find them. And here we want to emphasize this part. And they, my words, are health or medicine to all their flesh. Praise the Lord. All their flesh. I believe it. As a Baptist boy, I got it from the Baptist. As a Baptist boy on the bed of affliction, I wrote in a fly leaf my Bible in red ink. I still got the backs worn off that old Bible long ago, but I still got the Bible. The ink's faded, but it's still there. You can see it. Doesn't look red, but it's there. It looks all purple now. My motto, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Praise the Lord. And to me, when I read this, it's God's word. I believe it. That settles it. That settles it. That settles it. That's the end of it. No use discussing it anymore. That's it. They, my words, are health. They're medicine to all their flesh. Somebody asked me some time ago, said, Brother Higgins, said, are you ever sick? I said, no. No, never. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. Now, I said, I tell you, said, and this is a preacher, too. Full gospel preacher. Spirit-filled preacher. Fellow praying for the sick. He said, I tell you what I take. I found out it helps me just so much, you know. And he gave me a long rigmarole what he's taking. Keep him going. So he could preach divine healing. He said, what do you take? I said, I take how to preach. Praise God. Praise God. If it don't work for me, I don't know how in the world it'd work for anybody else. Yeah, but do you ever just feel a little draggy or something? Well, I said, not often. Well, yeah, but if you do, you know, feel a little under the weather, as we say, said, what do? I said, I double up on my Bible reading. I just double the dose. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Just double the dose. Just double up on the Bible reading. That's what I do. Double up on the medicine. It just works wonders. Praise God. Hallelujah.